Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
Is there anything anybody loves more than agreeing with Tauscher?
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
I got a hunch this isn't going to be concise either.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
I would say that you are pretty easygoing. You're actually probably more easygoing than I am.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Well, there's no, you're not easygoing at all.
Hey!
On 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.
Wants us to know that the Saints are really good. Spent all week telling us. Addition.
Sitting in a freezer waiting to get ready for a game.
Well, speaking of freezers, the Frosty Edition, as nicknames go. What do you like? You think you like that one?
Frosty?
Frosty.
That's a good nickname.
You know whose it is?
Scott Frost.
No. Edition.
Would have made sense.
Of Wilde and Tausch. On 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. God, we look weird.
This is a weird looking video today.
What?
I don't even know what it is. Like, what are we doing? Like, what if you turn this on? You're like, what are these three idiots doing? Like, legit.
I agree. Yeah.
You guys are like, all a very awkward distance apart from each other as well.
Well, I'm like trying to solid clear 2 feet. Of them because I'm a little under the weather.
Yeah.
I hope even farther.
Oh, boy. It's got a
little congestion. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay, but so are these two knuckleheads. Jesse Nelson, never won to. What are you doing?
I got my Tito's here.
Is that one of those you can put coins in so that it's like a Salvation?
It would appear so, yeah.
That's the strange thing is that started when I got here. It was full. Jesse Nelson is here instead of in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison Studios, which means that Riley Yauch is our cousin sub of the day there. Hi, Riley.
Hello, Jason.
And from his very much disclosed location, two seats over, he is the Packers Hall of Famer. He is Mark Tauscher.
I still haven't figured out there's no food, but Jesse comes to this remote. Like, it's really, you talk about enigmas.
Oh, boy.
Jesse with showing up on remotes is a total enigma to me. I can't figure out what makes him decide he is coming.
I was actually promised we would be eating crow today, and I don't see any in sight anywhere.
But we didn't need to. The Packers won. There wasn't.
No, that. You don't even remember what we were going to eat crow about.
What were we crowing about?
That the Minnesota Vikings are legitimate Super Bowl contenders. And you said, I got to take it back. Oh, we got to eat some crow at the trio because they're actually good.
Oh, they barely beat Seattle yesterday. They barely beat them.
Barely got their 12th win of the year.
Yeah, it's Minnesota. Kudos to Minnesota. And this
13th win of
13th
the year.
Win of the year.
Yeah, they're having a good year. They're having a good
13
year.
Wins. I don't
At
know.
At some point, we have to respect where Minnesota is. I'm still not there. But Green Bay is now in a battle for the 6-7 slot. Like, I don't think the 5 slot's even available to them. If Minnesota would lose to us and Detroit, we would then potentially be a 5? Is that where we're at?
I will have to check the tiebreakers, but bottom line,
not a great day for a Packer.
No help
playoff
whatsoever.
No, the good teams are winning, and the bad teams stink and are losing. So it's not anything revolutionary in that regard.
So the Detroit Lions, despite all of their injury problems, win their 13th game. There were some that said this was an upset alert.
I gave it alert
in Chicago, and it was 34-17.
Yeah, 20-0 before you could blink.
I did put an upset alert on it. I did say they were going to upset them, but they didn't seem to have a ton of problems with those Bears yesterday.
I was listening to the game on ESPN Radio. Steve Levy and Mike Tannenbaum were on the call, and at one point late in the first quarter, there was a play, and Mike Tannenbaum said, "Yeah, this is just an example of one team that's playing hard and one team that's not." I was like, upset alert. Okay.
The Minnesota Vikings go to Seattle and win 27-24. The Washington Commanders march down the field at the end of the game and beat the Philadelphia Eagles, who had lost Jalen Hurts earlier in the game to a concussion.
Hurts, donuts.
Commanders now 10-5, which means that the Packers have to keep winning to make sure they don't fall to the 7 spot.
I'm not going to lie to you. If we lose to the Saints tonight, we deserve to be the 7 spot.
I don't think they're going to lose to the Saints tonight, but if they lose to the Vikings, things could get interesting.
That spreads all the way up to 14.5, too.
I was told by Matt LaFleur that the Saints are a good team.
Yeah.
Oh?
Tausch, we talked about this last week. I know this game seems like it took 2 months to get here.
Long week.
But you have been on teams that were really good, playing really crummy teams. There were a couple times in your career where you were the crummy team and you were trying to rise up and beat the good team. Matt LaFleur pulling out all the stops this week. Oh, 4 of their losses are by 3 points or less. Mm-hmm. They could be 9-5 instead of 5-9. Doesn't matter that they're without Derek Carr, Alvin Kamara, Chris Olave. They're a good team. They're not giving up a lot of yards or a lot of points since Darren Rizzi took over. Do you believe any of that?
No. I appreciate what he's saying. And
do the players believe
it? The players, you always know that you can get beat any week you're out here. And the fact that the Saints are here, they're going to compete. It's not like they're going to, because everybody's fighting for a job. But they weren't great with all their guys.
Mm-hmm.
They're not better without Jesse's guy. There's no Carr. There's none of that. Anything can happen in the NFL we see. I will be shocked, and we will be eating crow tomorrow morning. Jesse is not going to be here,
of course, but if
he was, we would be eating crow, because this is one of those games that it needs to just be taking care of business. Don't get caught up in all of the other stuff, and I think that's what Matt LaFleur is trying to get to, because these players are human beings, too. They're not just, robots. They know that this is one of those games, and the Saints will compete, but there's just too big of a talent disparity and motivation level. You got guys sitting in freezers trying to get game plans together, which is just a dumb gimmick. I don't mind dumb gimmicks. We do them on these shows, on the show all the time.
That's, we specialize in it.
Gimmicks are fun, and if you're really good, they're fun. If you stink, you just look like idiots. And I think that's kind of the road, just like Tennessee going up to Columbus and trying to act like the cold wasn't going to bother them. It's going to be snowy. It's going to be cold. That would be, if I'm the Saints, I hope it's as sloppy and as miserable as you can, because that typically brings the talent closer together when it's sloppy and crummy out, turning the football over. That's the only way that this thing could be tight tonight, and I just don't envision that being the case.
For those of you that don't know what Tausch was referencing there, the Saints quarterbacks coach, Andrew Janoco, who was the Bears quarterbacks coach the last 2 years, and before that was with the Vikings, took Spencer Rattler and the rest of the quarterbacks into the walk-in freezer at the Saints facility in Metairie, Louisiana, where it was 10 degrees.
Is that like within Rocky, where they're like punching at sides?
Punching
of
the meat, yeah.
I'm assuming the FDA doesn't allow that anymore.
I'm guessing they did not have sides of beef hanging in there.
You don't know.
Well, if it's at an NFL facility, I'm thinking the walk-in freezer's just got a lot of like protein muffins, other items like that that would be in there boxed up.
Grass-fed and organic, and the way this is going, I think you want to get it as straight from the source as you can, so I'm not going to say for certain that that's not the case.
So Janoco's quote, I am curious if you would agree with this, because you just said that doing something shticky like that means you're desperate or something to that effect. Janoco said, and I quote, I just thought it was good to do something a little different. At this time of year, it's fun to do different stuff. Guys thought it was hilarious. The cafeteria workers think I'm out of my mind. If you were a quarterback coming up here and your team is 5-9 and you're a rookie about to make your fourth start, that might actually be a fun little shtick to do.
I love fun shticks, and I have no problem with them doing it. But if you think that's going to correlate, you're always, especially if you stink, you want to have something to rally around. Galvanize you, if you will. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to galvanize about a freezer, hey, man, kudos to you. If you could pull that off, that's a job done when it comes to coaching. But there is – maybe we're just all looking at this from the perspective, this shouldn't be close, this shouldn't be – that's the reality of the situation. The NFL has a funny way of punching you in the face when it comes to reality and how you view things. So we shall find out tonight, but – I would be shocked. This is one of those, and we'll get to the green and gold preview and all of that stuff to get into it. But this is just one of those games. Packers are healthy. When my hit with Vinny and Eric this morning on WTMJ, it was kind of like you. Oh, don't get hurt. This is one of those games, I think the coaches will never say this, but this is one where you hope we get off to that fast start and maybe guys don't have to play a ton in the second half. Get them ready for this big tilt Sunday night, Sunday afternoon down in Minnesota.
Lots of Emmanuel Wilson and Malik Willis. Did you say on Friday that you were headed to Chicago?
Yeah.
What were you doing in Chicago?
Hockey. A lot of hockey.
You didn't go to the Bears game?
No, I did not go to the Bears game. I put them on upset alert.
Yeah, trap game.
So I did have, and I don't know how much time we have left.
How much time we have left? We have 2 hours and 49 minutes left.
Let's stay on the clock.
Oh, there's no juice for this game. We can talk about anything.
There's no one who's more stay on the clock guy than
you. I want to be stay on the clock.
You're a clock watcher.
Bulaga's coming up, just so you know.
I used to watch a lot of trash TV. Like, I
used to.
I don't know.
Below deck?
I don't really watch it much anymore. The seasons have gotten, it's kind of
Enigma?
I did watch Enigma. Good.
Oh.
I recommend it to Packer fans. I think it's very interesting. You get a good look at it. Say what you want about Rodgers. I thought it was really interesting. I had a Jessica Simpson moment over the weekend. Jessica Simpson.
I don't want to see you in those shorts.
I got great legs. No, there's some other
calves,
stuff.
I heard.
I don't think I want to be mid-riffed in it, but I definitely. So back in the old days, she got very popular on a show with Nick Lachey. They were married.
Mm-hmm.
Now I watch Love is Blind, which is a garbage show, but I only watch it in increments, and it's usually
don't watch that much garbage.
Sauna time and things like that. So she thought buffalo wings were made of buffalo.
Okay.
And that was her shtick.
Mm-hmm.
And she thought tuna was chicken.
Chicken of the sea.
So she she thought it was chicken.
Right, but yeah. Okay.
Anyway, so she made some food takes that were pretty ridiculous and not knowing it.
Oh, boy.
So
what did you do?
All right, so we go down, and now I've found my spot. It's a great partner, so I can mention it, of ESPN 1000. Cut. Matt LePay and I went
How down. Many times have you eaten at this place?
Twice.
It's got to be more than two. You've talked about it hundreds of times.
Because I love it. And when you go to Chicago, you want a great cut of meat. I've been to the other places that I won't talk about.
I understand.
They're good. This place, it's on the water. And Waddle and Sylvie and the whole crew down at ESPN Chicago recommended it. We went. It's fantastic. So I said, we're going to go again. It's close to Michigan Ave. We can get, you know, do some shopping after the hockey game.
Sure.
Do all that bit. By the way, Christmas markets and Big Fellas, not a good idea. I didn't want to go to the Christmas market. I ended up going.
I love the Christmas market.
You love those Christmas. You're jammed in there like a sardine. I got my big puffy coat on. I'm getting just jabbed all over the place.
Knocking all for $25 stuff off of shelves.
All for $25 glass ornaments that you're going to end up probably breaking anyways. Not my deal. My family loved it, so I sucked it up. We did it. Great time.
Thank you for your service.
Awesome. So we go and you get treated like a king. You walk into Cut. People are doing this. My boy Waddle comes down, gives a big hug. Steve Levy sitting next to me.
Do you have your own knife yet?
No, but they brought out a knife cuts like butter. I mean, steaks are great. Food's great. Unbelievable. Okay? Just always have a great experience. So
such a great picture you're painting.
So you're here we go. Job. So well, so we want to get desserts.
When does Jessica Simpson show up?
This is where it's coming.
Question.
So we get the dessert menu, and they go through a litany of things. I mean, it's everything you could think of. They got carrot cake, which you know I love.
I love that's
got red velvet, right? All these different things. And then the guy's like, and we got a baked Alaska. I've heard of it.
You've heard of baked Alaska.
Hold up. So I have heard of it, but I have never had it, and I always thought it was some type of fish alongside with the dessert. So Eleanor said, what if we try the baked Alaska? And I said, I just don't want fish with dessert. It's what, because I'm convinced.
Within earshot of the server, hopefully?
Yeah, no, they knew. So
oh my God.
We're sitting there, and Sarah and Eleanor thought this was, and I don't know how Eleanor knew anything, but I thought there was salmon or halibut within this dessert. Swear to God. And I'm not trying to do this to be
Jessica Simpson.
This was, so I legit, and they bring it out. So then we have to get it because now
yes.
It's fantastic. I've never had it.
So what
there
is
was
it?
No salmon. There was no cod.
Spoiler alert.
There was no halibut within this dessert. It basically is a cake with strawberry ice cream and vanilla ice cream in between the layers of the cake, all with meringued up marshmallows
come out on fire?
Torched.
Oh.
So they're torched with the texture of the crispy burnt up marshmallows, all encapsulating this with no fish. But I thought there was fish within this dessert.
So you knew it was a dessert. All this time. You had heard of baked Alaska.
Yes.
You knew it was a dessert. Who on God's green earth would put fish in a dessert?
There's a lot of stuff that happens in the food world that I don't know. There's all of these.
Apparently.
There's all of these different fusions that get brought in. You got Spanish with Italian and Asian with this.
Sure.
You just don't know what gets fused with what. I thought when you hear baked Alaskan, I'm sorry, Jesse was shaking his head like,
it sounds like it's a main.
I thought there was some
fish
kind
dish,
of fish,
yes.
And I'm thinking, how are you going to make fish desserty?
That's fine if you thought it was an entree.
Right.
I just
all
said
along.
It was desserts before.
No.
But you knew it was a dessert. That's what I'm saying. As much as I hate to defend Jesse, if Jesse thought it was a fish entree.
Yeah.
Fine, but you knew going in it was
a dessert,
and you still thought there was salmon in the middle of, like, the whipped cream.
Yeah.
Get yourself a cod cake.
Well, you can candy stuff. Like, there's bacon. There's bacon in different desserts that gets candied.
Sure.
So why can't you candy a salmon? I didn't know.
There's carrots and carrot cake. Who would have thought there'd be vegetables in a dessert?
A little perch parfait.
So I didn't know. And I got done afterwards thinking I'm an idiot. And I did tell the server, I thought there was salmon or some type of fish. And so I don't know if I'll be back at Cut for a while. I'm going to probably have to take a little break.
Okay, in Tausch's defense, I just looked up fish-related desserts.
You, huh?
And there actually is one that's based in Alaska called a gudok.
A gudok. I heard it's a very gouda.
It's 8 ounces of white-fleshed fish, preferably Alaskan cod. Then you have water, Crisco, sugar, frozen raspberries, and frozen blueberries. So
very interesting,
it
Jason.
It is like a cod parfait.
How good is that sound?
A cod parfait.
So
and,
I'm not
and who on the panel has heard of a gouda or whatever that was called?
Grok.
Gudok. Rock has indeed. All right,
yeah,
don't,
is what it is.
You went into this story acknowledging you're an idiot.
Totally.
And now
you're defending
you're
it.
Trying, as is
no,
often
I'm
the case.
I'm not defending it.
Well,
Riley
help me out. I'm in now.
I didn't ask Riley for any help. You guys
yeah,
are sitting
he
here.
Did.
I wasn't texting anybody.
That's the kind of teammate. That's the kind of teammate you want.
So I appreciate that, but it was one of those, you hear about this, you go to nice spots to eat, and you're like, I want to try something different. And I would have never, ever gotten it because I thought there was potentially fish in it, I think is a reason I've never gotten it.
I have never gotten it because I
and
wasn't
now, I'm gonna
to
tell
pay
you this,
how much it costs.
Could not recommend more. Is it? It's pricier.
It's a delicacy.
Yeah, it's
come
a
come on, tell us how much baked Alaska costs.
I'm not going to get into that. I don't need to get into. It's worth.
Well, we know it's a high end steakhouse. It's a great partner.
Yeah.
Is it $50 for dessert?
No, No.
40?
It's more than 20. I'll say that. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, all in all, great experience. Learned something new. Had a fun little yarn. And I would have it again.
And was Waddle there by happenstance? Or did you have
no, we didn't plan
with him?
I'm not going to get into his business on the street. He had a family affair. And when I got there, they said, oh, Tommy's here. I said, oh, great. And I was going to go up and say it, but he was having a special night with his family. So then he came down. Big hugs at the down. And
but
then,
you didn't know he was going to.
You
no
coincidentally ran
it
into
was a
Tom Waddle?
Because when Tom Waddle goes to eat in Chicago, he's going to be at Cut. If Steve Levy's in town to call a game, he's going to go to Cut. If old, you know if old T's in Chicago, he's going to go there.
Wait, at least twice. Mm-hmm. Were any other ESPN Chicago personality? You didn't
I
see
was
Sylvie,
just
Carmen, Yurko?
No, we just were having a great time late at night, a little later than one young Tauscher was would have liked to have stayed up, but that's what we did. So.
Well, it sounds delightful, and no one was criticizing you publicly for your lack of knowledge of Baked Alaska. Just like,
can you believe there's fish in a dessert?
Again,
after all that,
what's remarkable is that everyone has heard, or most people have heard of Baked Alaska. No one has heard of this alleged fish thing, which frankly sounds made
salmon
up.
Salmon sherbet
sounds delicious.
Chef Rob Kanin, Jason, look him up. A gudak.
Gudak. You know what else is gudak? Pella windows and doors.
The work that the elves do, even though they don't get any credit.
Very gudak. And sure, your home remains gudak and comfortable before we reach the brutal. And it's going to be a tough one tonight, post-holiday winter. And yes, Santa Claus getting busy, getting close. Santa's working tail off. And the elves are too, but the elves, they're just not quite ready to build pellet windows and doors. Too many options, too many customizations. So instead of going through to Big Red Fella, take advantage of this great deal from Pella. Get as low as $19 per window, $81 per patio door per month. Certain restrictions do apply. This offer ends on New Year's Eve. Visit WI.com to learn more.
We need to get ready for Packers Saints. We will do that all show long. And talk a little bit about fish-flavored desserts, if there are any others that Riley can discover.
I heard the McFlurry might be thinking about throwing a Filet-O-Fish in there just to mix it up.
Filet-O-Flurry. No where free they, advertising.
Where, no, I don't know.
Except it's ice cream.
It's ice cream.
Just
that's
about
the
to say,
rule.
Where do they have that?
Well, I'm not into all that. It's...
More Will Deeds House straight ahead. Stick around. Live from the Tundra Trio in the shadow of Lambeau Field. It's just the three of us right now, but later tonight we will have Green Bay Game Day.
Outdoor. I think they got the little mobile center out there. It's nice.
I thought about
it. You gonna be here?
I did the post game show from after. What we planned?
San Francisco.
San Fran.
I thought about setting us up out there this morning for
chilly
our show.
A fire brewing?
Just wondering how you guys
bake some Alaska.
Feel about that.
Baking at Alaska.
That sounds delightful. But the Packers do have a game tonight. They will take on the New Orleans Saints. A big matchup for them, obviously, against a 14.5 point underdog.
It's big boy. You don't see that in the NFL.
You don't. What does that tell you?
Tells me that the Packers are heavy favorites for a reason. They're a much better football team. They're going to be the more motivated football team, at least you hope. Home field, all of the injuries. So it's my guess tonight. I'll be shocked if the New Orleans Saints don't try some type of fake punt, fake field goal, anything. They're going to try and steal possessions. They're going to have to do. This is the part of the year where some teams aren't that upset if they lose. I think New Orleans is looking at that. They need a full-on rebuild. Wipe that thing down to the studs. Everything's moldy, and it's not the kind of mold that you want to eat off of bread like Dan Campbell. This is the type of mold that ruins your house. You need to wipe it all out. They need to go back down to a foundation and reset, and I think that's losing games actually and not getting, you know, not getting a late season win and losing draft selection would make even more sense. So there's just everything. That's what it tells me, is that every indicator is pointing towards this should be a route tonight.
Let's get to the green and gold game preview so we can get to Brian Poulaga.
Let's take a closer look at this week's matchup. This is the green and gold game preview.
Rapid fire, because Tausch is a big stay-on-the-clock guy. What's the big storyline heading into Monday Night Football, Packers and Saints tonight?
You know, with Prize Picks, I always say run your game. Tonight is a play your game from the Green Bay Packers. Just play your game. Don't do anything crazy. Go about your business. This needs to just be a professional game. So don't do it. You don't need to do anything tricky. This isn't, you got to win this. Just go out and play your game. And if you do that, you're going to win, and you're going to win in what I think is a relatively comfortable way. Just play your game.
There was a game yesterday involving, I think it was the Bills were playing somebody bad as
Patriots.
A multi-digit favorite, and we're actually down during the course of the game. The story of the game tonight will be this is going to be closer than they want it to be. And they're not going to get to Malik Willis and Emmanuel Wilson and Bo Melton. And that would be less than ideal. So I hope I'm wrong, but I'm not sure I will be.
Besides Jordan Love, who's the most important Packers player for them to have success tonight, Tausch?
This is Zach Tom. You start looking at where this game could get sideways. Cam Jordan, I think, is playing, correct? I didn't check thoroughly. Is
yes.
Cam Jordan playing? He's a dog.
Good.
And he's an old dog, but he still has new tricks. I respect him. He's a Hall of Fame player. What are you shaking your head about?
You don't even mean that. You know that old dog, new tricks is what you instantly thought of when you said that.
Tell us more about Cam Jordan's new trick.
Cam Jordan is a great football player. He'll be a Hall of Famer.
I agree.
And when you kind of look for a game like tonight, a veteran needs to step up. They're going to need to make some stracks. They're going to have to be uber aggressive with what they're doing, and I think Cam Jordan is one of those guys, and he's not the same player he was, but if you can limit that and not give up any of those type of plays, Zach Tom will be probably responsible for him more than anybody else.
Get to the next question when it gets blocked.
The Packers clinch a playoff berth with a win tonight.
Nice.
If blank.
They don't blank down their leg. This is a don't blank down your leg game. That's it.
Okay.
And you can pick either function.
Yep, don't blank down your
Just
leg.
Just don't blank down your leg and you're going to beat the New Orleans Saints tonight.
If they avoid injuries, I understand you can't play like that. Tausch has told us that many times. They'll go out and play their best. But, again, I'm watching yesterday and out goes Jalen Hurts with a concussion. Now, that should be only a brief time that he's sidelined, but those are the kinds of things that derail teams that are already clearly playoff teams, and they need to make sure that they avoid that. All right, so we can get to Brian Poulaga. Tell us about Fortrea.
Well, if you're looking to get up here to a game, or if you want to get to a bowl game, you want to go on vacation, beautiful. You get Fortrea has some great opportunities for you to pick up a little extra spending cash over the holidays. Healthy adults, ages 18 to 65, BMI of 27 to 40, study 2 stays, 65 nights, 6 outpatient visits. There's a big check coming for you at the end of it. $27,463 for your time and participation. Another $400 per qualified referral. Head over to FortreaClinicalTrials.com. That's Fortrea, F-O-R-T-R-E-A, clinicaltrials.com.
Brian Poulaga is next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
I've got some famous friends you probably never heard of, but back in Rutherford County, our crowd is second to none. You might not know I'm here in this big city we're in, but when I go back home, I've got some famous friends.
You know what that music means.
Is it Wednesday already? Is this Saints-Packers game?
I can't hear a word you're saying. All I hear is this song. What? It is Brian Poulaga on Wilde and Tausch.
Hey,
Brian,
Blue,
good morning.
Hey, Blue, do you know what Baked Alaska is?
Baked Alaska?
Yeah.
I don't. I don't. What is that?
Do you know what kind of fish is in it?
Is it trout? I don't know.
Trout truffle, am I right?
Yeah. Yeah, I have no idea.
Okay. Yeah, me.
Well, are you going to tell them, or are you just going to leave it up to dry here?
I went to a great steakhouse in Chicago, and the menu, Baked Alaska, came up, and it's a dessert, and I thought that there was fish in the dessert. Sounds like you wouldn't have known what's in a Baked Alaska either.
I would not have known. What is in it? It's a dessert. What's in the dessert?
So there's cake, there is strawberry ice cream, there is vanilla ice cream, and then it is a meringue. Like you bring the little blowtorch out, a meringue encased cake with ice cream in it, and the ice cream is still cold, even though it's all meringued up on the outside. Absolutely fantastic. You're a sleek dude now, so you probably wouldn't dabble completely in it, but it was fantastic. But I thought it was salmon.
It sounds good. I guess I don't know what Alaska has to do with that combination, but that's all right.
I don't
know
if strawberry ice cream is big over there. But I don't know either. That was what was enamored me. I'm not that enamored by tonight's game. Tell me why I should be, Brian.
Well, I mean, I think I was listening to you guys before I got on, and Jason kind of hit it. I turned on that Buffalo game last night, and I was shocked when I saw the score, and it kind of gave me a little worry of what we could potentially see tonight. I mean, I don't want to believe that it's going to go that way. I want to believe that Green Bay is going to go in and take care of business tonight and really do what they need to do it. And what we've seen in the past from what the Bills and the Patriots game has been in the past, like they've always played, you know, Buffalo really tight at home and away, right? That's just kind of been what they've done in the past. And that's a division opponent and all that. So this is different what Green Bay's doing against the Saints tonight. But you just don't want to be caught in a trap game, right? Like and thinking too far ahead about what you're going to do next week against Minnesota. But it still worries me, right? And it's a big stage for the Saints as well, right? It's a Monday night stage. Those guys got pride too. They're not going to go lay down for Green Bay on a big stage like this. This isn't a noon kickoff that no one's going to watch. This is a big game. So that is the one thing that, as a guy that's played a lot in a lot of these games against bad teams, you understand you're going to get their best shot, and that's kind of what these guys have to prepare for now that, you know, last year towards the end of the season, they were the team that people were kind of looking down on, right? They didn't really know what they were going to get from the Packers team. Who are these guys? They're barely at 500. You know, who are they? Well, now it's a different story. You know, they're kind of the big dogs in the NFC. They're starting to rise at the top of the pack, and they're going to get everyone's best shot now, and they need to adjust their mindset to that no matter who you play, everyone's coming to get you. So, like, that's the mentality now that they need to shift to, and LaFleur knows that, right? He's been in this situation since he got here with Rodgers and kind of how it's gone through and not with this team, and they're young. But he understands how to get these guys ready, and I'm sure he does. But that's my only thing that I'm really looking for early in this game is how this team reacts, probably in the first three drives, right? You'll understand how this team's going to come into this game mentally in the first three series of the game is like, hey, it's all business here. We're going to go down the field and do what we need to do. Or is this thing going to be a little shaky, right? Is this thing going to be like what we saw in Buffalo last night? And that's what I'm looking forward to seeing.
So, Brian, I had an exchange with LaFleur during the week. He had said that they practiced outside Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And so on Friday, he was talking about how crisp the practice was, how clean it was, despite being outside in the cold. And I said, is that a good sign that your guys are locked in when they're playing a team that obviously has struggled? And look, I didn't say that it's a 14.5-point margin or line, but look, that does not happen in the NFL. So you said you played, and he got after me a little bit, and he wanted to make sure I understood that I would not put that game under in this category of it being a bad team. Well, like you said, I covered plenty of games where you guys were rolling and you were playing bad teams. And on occasion, they did not go Route City USA. It was tight. Mm-hmm. So what do you remember about preparation during those weeks that allowed you to go out there and then put the foot on the throat throughout the game to make sure that an upset did not happen and derail you while you're building toward the playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, I think kind of what LaFleur told you, like really crisp practices throughout the week, right? You don't really want to see practices that are a little bit sloppy, guys getting loose throughout the week and have it kind of have the mindset of like, doesn't really matter what happens throughout the week. We can be a little bit sloppy. We're just playing the Saints. Who cares, right? Like we'll figure it out in the game. Like that's not the mentality you want to see as the head coach. You want to see things really dialed in throughout the week because regardless of what's coming down the pipe next week against Minnesota, you got to take care of business right now. So I always thought playing against, not good teams or whatever it may be, or teams that are struggling throughout the season, right, towards the end here, you want to be as clean as you can throughout the week so that when you get out there, you want to see the backup QB and you want to see the backup wide receivers and you want to be able to maybe, take the fourth quarter off so that, you can watch other guys play in the fourth quarter and get that get a little bit of a breather at the end of the game. Didn't happen very often, right? Because this is the NFL at the end of the day. And like you said, Jason, like there's a lot of these times that, I can't remember too many games. I mean, 2011, we had a lot of them. Right. Like we had a lot of games where Aaron was out in the fourth quarter. And I think 2014, we had a couple of those games. But like looking back on it, we didn't have too many games where we were favorites, where we were blown a team out by, three scores in the fourth quarter. It just doesn't happen too much. So I always just looked at it, take care of business throughout the week in practice. And when you normally do that, your mindset is in a good place to, get into that game and I always looked first couple series, right? Like get on these teams right. Super early. You're playing a team from, the South. It's warmer. You got them in Lambeau. It's cold. They're bad. I keep saying bad. They're not having a good season. They don't have much to play
struggling.
For.
They're struggling.
Yes. They're struggling.
Struggling
they
with
don't have
G's.
Much. Yes. They don't have much to play for. If you take the life out of them within the first two series, they don't have anything to like play for out there. So that's
hey,
the
Blue,
mentality
you ever,
that you have to go into.
Blue, we played the Raiders one year in December, and they stunk. And you could see and feel about the second quarter. When you're standing around waiting for the TV timeouts, you'd have conversations. And that was one of those games I was like, all right, these cats, they're already on their way back. Have you ever have mm-hmm. a game where it was kind of like, these boys are done?
Yeah. I remember there was a game when we played the Cowboys. When was it, Jason? I think Wade Phillips got fired that week. Wade Phillips got.
Coaches fired in 2010. You got Chili fired too.
Chili now. Yeah, Wade Phillips got fired in 2010 after.
Was it 2010? Well, then it might have been Jason Garrett. I forgot who it was. No, it was. I thought it was the
Killer. You?
Yeah. No, I forgot. It was 2010. You beat them 45-7.
Yes.
And then
Jerry
that's Jones
City. Yeah,
Wade Phillips.
Yes, I remember that, and that was at home, right? It was at home, and it was it was a little bit. It was at home. It was a little bit cooler, and you could just tell by the third or fourth quarter that they were just like they were done. They were checked out. They didn't want any part of it. And it was. And you're looking across the line at studs, right? Like DeMarcus Ware is playing over there. Like you're looking at guys that are Hall of Fame players, and you're like, they're done. They don't want any more part of it. And I'm a young guy. I'm like, that's scary. That's DeMarcus Ware. Like I don't care what he looks like. That's a scary human being over there. But you could just tell the body language of guys that they're they're done. And it's kind of just one of those things that you can – and Homer always asks, like, how do you know when guys are checked out? You could just see it in them. Like, you feel it when you, like, run a play. They don't really care much. The secondary rush and a pass rush isn't there. They just kind of, like, run into you and they stop. They put their hands up like they're acting like they're trying to bat down a ball. It's hard to describe, but it's the fight's just not there. And you've beat them into submission, and it's a great feeling, but it's hard to describe. And you normally start to feel that by the third quarter, and that's what I mean. Tausch said it, and that's what Green Bay. I'm hoping we see that with this Saints team. But the Saints team, their strength, and this is probably their only strength, is that group up front. That their defensive line is their strength. So if they're going to hang in this thing, it's going to be their pass rush and their D-line that keeps them in this thing. So the offensive line from Green Bay is going to have to be the guys that kind of drive this car tonight.
So, Brian, we'll get into some more of the specifics of the game and how some of these guys are playing in a moment. But I did want to ask you how you view the NFC playoff picture now. Packers obviously have three games left, including tonight, but the Lions win again. They're 13-2. The Vikings, who have been poo-pooed by certain panelists on this program, also won again. They are 13-2. The Commanders beat the Eagles, which in some ways was not helpful to the Green Bay Packers, because now the Commanders are sitting at 10-5. If by some act of God the Packers lose tonight, they will be 10-5. And now they're fighting to avoid being the seventh seed. What did you make of the happenings of yesterday, and what did it mean in your mind for the challenges the Packers face once they are officially in the playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, I think it puts a little sense of urgency in Green Bay, right? Like, I think it for one, I think Philly got, you know, it was a little unfortunate that Hurts got the concussion, right? I think if Hurts doesn't go down, sure, I think that game looks a lot different. But hey, you know what? That's football. Things happen. If you're a running quarterback, that's the risk you take, and things like that happen. So fair play to Washington. At the same time, Philly was up two touchdowns, man. they had a two-touchdown lead, and right, Washington came back. So you know what I'm saying? Like, at the end of the day, that you can't take anything away from Washington. They're playing good football right now. So that's what it is. But I think it gives Green Bay a little sense of urgency, knowing, like, hey, we got to continue winning. We got to keep winning football games. And we're kind of starting to see Detroit is going to be the one seed, right? And I don't see them. I mean, they got, who do they have? Minnesota and San Francisco left. I think those are the two, yes, games they have remaining.
Yes, you are correct.
And obviously, if they lose to Minnesota, does Minnesota leapfrog them? Yeah, Minnesota would leapfrog them as the one seed, right? Am
if
I correct
they
on
beat
that?
Green Bay.
They got to beat the Packers first, obviously. That's part of the equation.
Minnesota would have to beat the Packers. Yeah. So if they don't beat, yeah, okay. So that makes sense. So they play them the last week of the season. So I don't poo-poo the Vikings at all. I think they're real. I've said this from the start. You don't fall into 13 wins. It just doesn't happen. You don't get lucky that many times. And you look at the way the guys are performing on that team, they got good players. And O'Connell's doing a really good job with the quarterback. And they got a good offensive line. And the defense is doing enough. They create enough pressure. And they're playing good football. And, like, you just can't take it. You can't tell me that a team that collects 13 wins over a season is fake. You can't convince me of it. So, like, I think they're real. I think they end up probably sticking at the 5 seed, and that's probably where they end up, you know, staying, and that's okay. I don't mind that, unless Green Bay's at 4 losses, so even if they beat Minnesota, right, I think, you know, they hold where they, you know, everyone holds where they are, or whatever ends up happening, I don't know. But I think what we're seeing, though, at least for me personally, this NFC playoff picture is wide open. I think anyone can beat anyone and come out of this thing, which makes it really exciting, right? Like, I don't think the 1 or the 2 or the 3 or the 4, like, I think The 7 seed down can win. And that to me is really exciting, right? That makes this thing must watch, you know, TV. We saw the Commanders beat the Eagles. I mean, I know Green Bay lost to Detroit twice, but I feel good about Green Bay playing Detroit again. I feel good about Green Bay playing Philly. I feel good about Green Bay playing Minnesota. Like, so, and you feel good about all these other matchups, like Minnesota playing Detroit, Minnesota playing Philly. Like, so that's what makes the NFC playoff picture, like, so exciting, but it's so muddy. And that's what, like, that's what makes it so exciting for fans. So it's a very, it's going to be an interesting finish in how the seedings play out, right? I mean, Tampa losing last night to the Cowboys is really weird. Like, and, you know, the way Tampa's been playing. So it's just a very odd, it's just very odd what's happening and what's going on, but intriguing all at the same time. So it's hard to put, and like the AFC is super clear, right? I think the AFC is very clear with what you have. I mean, Kansas City, Baltimore, Buffalo, right? Like, there it is. Like, there's your three teams. Like, that's where it's going to go and how it plays out. Most likely, I mean, I hate to say it, it's probably going to be the Chiefs, but like, and then that's just the way it goes. But the NFC is very wide open, and that's really good for Green Bay.
Brian, I want to talk a little bit about where the Packers' defense is in your eyes and a little more about where this team is big picture, since this isn't the most compelling Monday Night Football matchup. We'll get to that coming up. Tausch is going to tell us first, though, about American Family Insurance.
Indeed, Badger fans. American Family Insurance wants to give you and a friend a VIP experience at either a football or basketball game during this upcoming 2025 season. You and a friend. See pregame, sideline, or courtside passes, tour of the facility, tons of great merch to support your Badgers. Enter today at amfam.com/badgers. No purchase is necessary. Dream fearlessly, insure carefully.
More with Brian Bulaga next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
I've got some famous friends you probably never heard of. But back in Rutherford County, our crowd is second to none. You might not know them here in this big city we're in.
With Brian Bulaga. Is it just me, or is it weird to talk to Brian when we don't have film breakdowns to discuss with him?
It's not weird.
It's Brian, is it weird?
I mean, I don't know if it's weird. It's different.
You know what's weird is Baked Alaska with the fish in it.
Yeah. Unique. That's weird. That's definitely weird to me.
So, Brian, I had a long back and forth with Jeff Hafley during his press conference this week, and I'm really intrigued by what you see from this defense, because, and again, I admitted this to him, I thought, all right, 3-4, that the guys talked about how complicated it was and how many different rules they had and all the issues that they had with Joe Barry, switching to a 4-3, more straightforward, more aggressive, simple, illusion of complexity as opposed to actual
simulated blitz.
Yes, simulated pressures, etc. I thought that they would hit the ground running more quickly than they did. And Jeff Hafley, and talking with Xavier McKinney, those guys, it's like, hey, look, it's a process no matter what new system we're getting into. You were here in 19 offensively when Matt LaFleur took over after Mike McCarthy departed. How hard is it to change systems, even if there are similarities? And what have you seen from this defense? Because it looks to me, and even though the Lions scored 34 points, there were some good things in that game too. This looks like a defense that is peaking at the right time with the playoffs approaching. Is that what you see?
Yeah, I think, I mean, that's actually a really good, like, good comparison from 19 when LaFleur came in, because in 19, those, I remember the first, like, 4 or 5, 6 weeks, like, it wasn't like clean, the way the offense was operating. Like, it was a struggle. Like, it would look okay at times, and then it would look bad, and then it would look good, and like, and it just never felt clean all the time. Like, week one was bad, and then we played Minnesota, and then there were times it was good, and then like, and it was just up and down, up and down. And then finally, like towards like middle to the end of the season, it started to pick up, and we started to get into a groove, and it felt it felt good, and it felt comfortable, and all the guys were communicating properly, and everything was running smoothly. And that's kind of what I'm seeing from this defense. And I understand from, you know, my point of view and a lot of people's point of view, like, yes, the scheme is more straightforward. There is a lot of, you know, lot less verbiage, and it's simple, and it's more aggressive of it in its nature. But it still is going to take time to adjust to these things. And it's going to take guys a little bit to, you know, that muscle memory of what they've been doing for so long in an old scheme, which they've been playing in for a while. Because a lot of these guys have been here for a minute, and they've been playing in that 3-4 style scheme. So it's going to take them a while. And I think the last, you know, 5 games, they've been playing well. And I think going where they're at, and kind of this is not just offensively, but it's defensively too. They're peaking at the right time going into the playoffs. And from a defensive standpoint, with how they're playing, takeaways, rushing the passer, how they're playing against the run in particular, those are great signs. And the big point to me too is like, or the thing that stands out is against the run. Like, the biggest thing is against the run. Like, if you can shut down the run, the pass rush then comes with it, right? When you make offenses one-dimensional, if you take away their run game, that's when pass rushers can be way more aggressive with, even in, you know, first down and 10 or second down and 8. When teams know they can't run the football, this defense then becomes way more like dangerous, because then these guys up front are just pinning their ears back and going, because they're taking the chance that it's going to be a pass because they've shut down the run. And that's that to me is what Halfley, this defense and Halfley are going for, is shut down the run, take it away, make these offenses one dimensional so we can rush the passer. And that's kind of what we've seen from this defense and how good they've been against the run. So I like where they're going. Obviously, there's a lot of work to be done, you know, going into the future, but we're not there yet. We're in this season right now, and where can this defense go, you know, the remainder of the year? And I like kind of the trend that they're on.
What about Jair? How important is he to get back? And do you, as an analyst and watching this, do you think that how big of a difference does he make as far as what Jeff Halfley can do calling blitzes and some of the other stuff? I guess how vital is it? Not going to ask you if you think he is going to be back, but how important do you think it is for this defense to have him back in the lineup?
Well, I think it would be a big addition. I really do. I think when you can have a corner with his skill set and his talent, and you can put him on a side of a field,
is he that guy still, Blue?
I think he can. I think he's pretty good. Yeah, I think he's pretty good. I mean, well, I'll put it this way.
From what I remember the last time you saw him play.
I was going to say, I thought he was great 3 years ago. I don't know what he brings right now. I guess.
I'll put it this way. Like, I guess I don't study corner play maybe as much as I should, right? Like, and I guess I don't study corner play on our team as much as we should right now with him not being in, right? And maybe I should study it way more. But I know if he's in there, he's probably going to be more productive and play better than what we have in right now, if I had to take a guess. And that's not ripping any guys, right? That's not saying that who we have in there now is bad, but just knowing Ja's talent level and his knowledge and just his overall, like, he's a veteran. He understands ball. Like, he's a smart football player. He understands things. Like, having him in there is valuable. So I think when you have a guy like that, you can do different things with pressures. You can you can rotate things and shift things and bring things in different directions. He's a guy that is really good in press. He can get up on the line of scrimmage and jam guys. And when you're able to do that, you can bring pressure the opposite way and outnumber, you know, an offensive line and bring pressure a different way. So that quarterback, when he's looking the other way to throw, doesn't have that, you know, quick release to get it off to a receiver in the other direction, which is huge. So, like, I think he brings a lot of different things to a defense that we may not have right this time. That doesn't mean that this defense still can't play well without him, because they've been managing and doing a good job the last, you know, like I said, 5 weeks without him. And I don't know when he's going to come back, right? Like, I have no idea. Like, and it's been, Jason, you've seen him a couple
Jason
times
said
in the
last
room.
Week. You picked him as your player of the game last week, didn't you? Pre-game?
No, I picked Romeo Doubs, I think. But to your point,
I was
going to
say, you've seen him in the locker room, and you know,
yeah,
he hasn't really
he
given
liked
much.
My sweatshirt. That's what all are you wearing? Yeah. It's an Oregon one. But here's the thing, Brian. If
sandals with socks.
No, just today. I like to match up my shoes with my outfit, but I didn't do that today because I knew I was just going to see you two knuckleheads. But here's the thing: if you can get him back next week, because you know he's going to be up for Justin Jefferson,
Jay Jettis.
And you saw what they did, because he did not play in that Minnesota game when they got out to the 28-0 lead. Mm-hmm. To me, let him sit for another week. Give him every opportunity. Have him fully engaged, because he's going to have a marquee matchup. That, to me, is what you need to do with him. Now, maybe he gets out there tonight and it allows him to get things going just
get a little bit,
get a feel for it. But, look, I don't want anyone to suggest that, oh, we don't need him. They've learned how to play without him. There is value in him being on the field. We saw it
in
the playoffs
last
year.
Can you count on him?
Right, and I would argue that you can count on him best when the stakes are highest.
I would agree.
He had the interception in Dallas last year in the playoffs. So, you know, whether or not you like him, dislike him, whether you question the seriousness of his injuries or not, whatever it is you do as a fan, that's fine. But now we're to the point where if he is a competitor, which I believe he is,
100% he's a
competitor. This is when he's going to be fully in.
Get him out there for Minnesota. I couldn't agree more. I think that is a great strategy. Then you can rest him from the Bears game and then let him go when you have to go to the Rams and shut down a Nakua.
Puka Nakua.
Or Cooper Kupp.
Exactly.
Higbee.
Yeah, I mean, and the thing about, you know, and Tausch, I don't know, I've never injured my PCL. I don't know if you've ever injured your PCL. I have no idea about that injury.
That's one ligament I've steered clear of. Yep.
Yeah, like I've never injured that ligament, and I mean I've injured just about every one of them in my time. That's the one that I've avoided. So like it's I have no idea about that one. So like, you know, I've had multiple people ask me like what's up with that one? Have you like is this how long it takes? And I have no clue, because like I've never hurt that ligament. So like, It's hard for me to question what's going on in his knee, right? Like, so I've had knee injuries that have taken a while to heal. Have I played through them? Sure, but like that doesn't mean it's healed. And what
different
he's
animal?
Asked to,
yeah, Ed Blue. Yes. Different animal being a lineman where you're in short spaces.
Yes.
Trying to cover
exactly.
Jay Jettis and Addison and guys that torch you all day. You can't compare. It's like a hammy. You got a tweaked hammy
exactly.
as a lineman. You could probably do it. You can't do that. Or an ankle. You can't play DB in this league planting and moving if you ain't rolling.
100%.
You just can't do it. So I'm not giving
– exactly.
I have been a Jair fan for a while. He has not been the same player since he jacked his shoulder up. I think he's had some moments since he's been back, but – it's nothing about Jair. This is about from the defense. If you're Jeff Hafley, you can't really count on having Jair just because he's been unavailable for so many times. To bank on that, I think, is fool's gold. You hope and you're excited if he does get back out there. And I couldn't agree more with Jason in the fact he's a dog. Like, he is going to get up. And he has guys of these marquee matchups. Him and Jefferson, they got their thing going. That is a rivalry amongst itself. That's where I want to see. And that might be that spark to get him rolling again and potentially for a playoff push. And that, no doubt in my mind, makes this defense that much better.
Yeah, I'm with you. And yeah, I'm with you. Like, for Halfley's planning and kind of like scheming of these offenses, yeah, it's going to be tough for him to do that and scheme it with Ja in there, right? Like, it's going to be tough for him because he did it with Chicago and it only was so many plays, and then he had to change things up, and we saw how that kind of impacted the defense in that Chicago game, right? It didn't go well, and Chicago had, you know, some success and things got jumbled around. So, like, I understand it from Halfley's standpoint and kind of how he has to game plan things and from that point of view. But if you can get him out there and you know he's going to be out there and you know he's healthy and all that, and for Minnesota, that's a huge bonus and a huge plus. And then you can rest him, and then you get him for the playoff push. I mean, that would be ideal. And but we'll see how this goes, right? Like, at this point, no one really knows how that knee is or how he feels. And besides, you know, the training staff, himself, and LaFleur, no one really knows. So we'll see how this thing plays out the next few weeks.
All right, Brian, last thing for you. I'm curious, the expectations for Edger and Cooper are now through the roof. We've talked about him with you before, so you could touch on that if you want. But what I really want to know is, he's been nicknamed Frosty by Rich Bisaccia.
Frothy or Frosty?
Frosty, like, okay. Frosty the Snowman. And apparently Rich Bisaccia is the new resident nickname giver. He was the one who gave Eric Wilson Body Beautiful. My recollection was that the previous quarterback was a big nickname guy, and I remember him talking about how he felt like that was one of the ways you could connect with people, was to nickname them. So Frosty's nickname comes from the fact that, and I didn't know this until Bill Huber asked him about it on Saturday, apparently Edger and Cooper has two horses that he has at his home here in Green Bay. He and his dad raise horses, so one of the horses is named Frosty. What were your nicknames other than Blue, which makes sense, during your playing career?
That's a great nickname, by the way. Yeah, he raises horses. this dude's incredible. I love it. I think
not
was
as good as
I think...
if you get your donkeys, though. I got to be honest.
Yeah. I think Aaron came up with the one Bull, I think, and then Tausch and those guys. My rookie year was Blue. Those were the ones that I kind of had.
Very clever.
My
guys
time.
Are really yeah. bright.
Well, Blue loves the color blue.
That's why.
Yeah,
he loves the sky.
Those were the ones that I had through my time there. So Blue and Bull. I mean, it was very creative. No. But I think the nickname, you know, the nickname thing is a term of endearment. I think when you get one, it is, you know, it's not a negative. It's not a knock on guys. It is a term of endearment. And you just got to roll with it. It's, hey, not all the time are they flattering. It's, you know, I understand that, but just
that
the way
right?
it goes, man.
Oh, I'm well aware they're not flattering. Would you like, for those that don't always know which one you were given by the quarterback, would you like to share that
no.
one?
All right, then I'll do it for you. He nicknamed you Cat Pig.
Yeah. Well, I nicknamed him some things, too.
And then you shortened it, though, to CP.
Yeah, we shortened it.
And then
up.
No one really knew what it meant.
All right.
So it worked out great. Brian, we would never give you a derogatory nickname. You make our show so much better every time you join it. We appreciate you.
Hey,
buddy.
Merry Christmas, Blue.
And Happy New Year.
Have a great Christmas, my friend.
Yeah.
I got
Merry
chastised
Christmas, guys.
For wishing you a Merry Christmas last time, so I'm going to do it again.
Well, Merry Christmas. Enjoy the game tonight. I'm excited to watch it, too. So hope you guys have a good one and have a great Christmas with your families.
Blue, do you think I could start the post-game show third quarter tonight? If you're just between us. Third quarter start? Or you think it'll be
fourth,
tighter?
Maybe.
Okay.
Fourth,
right.
maybe.
Ooh.
Yeah.
All right, Brian, we appreciate you. I look forward to you filling in for Tausch when he's taking some time off during the holidays here. I don't know if anyone's actually reached out to you about that, but I'll be really counting on you to fill in because that would be key.
I just want to say, I was told I said yes, but then I got shaken off. I was told no, that he's going to be back. I was told
no.
Next
Friday is when we're going to need you, Blue. But we'll talk to you. Yeah, there's some stuff that happened in the world that we had to maneuver a little bit.
Yeah, so. Exactly. Well, we're glad to always have you.
I'm getting cross-communicated. I get told yes, I get told no. I said, nice. I don't know what's going on here. I mean,
Blue, I'm a complicated fella.
Just don't make any plans the entire week in New Year's, and we'll keep you on standby.
There you go.
Thank you.
You're the best, buddy. Thanks.
All right, guys.
That is the great Brian Bulaga, Bull or Blue, as he came to be known during his playing days. And look, he spent a huge part of his NFL career, a decade with the Green Bay Packers, which meant even though he probably got direct deposit, it was still coming from the official bank of the Packers, Associated Bank. And you could be just like the Packers if you sign up for Packers Checking. Not only do you get Packers checks and a Packers debit MasterCard, you also get 10% off the Packers Pro Shop, both in-store and online. So go to associatedbank.com/Packers to find out more. We'll kick off the 10 o'clock hour in very timely fashion in 2 minutes. So stick around. It's Wilde and Tausch.